It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the September 17th, 2018 edition of the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week, brought to you by SquadQL. I'm Blair Andrews. You can follow me on Twitter at AmITheRealBlair, and my co-host is Hassan Rahim, who you can follow at HRR5010. Hassan, how's it going?
It's going fantastic, Blair. Week 2 is in the books, or at least close to being, so we're still going through the Dallas Giants game right now.
Yes, and as we're recording, it's still going on. So a few more games to get out of the way, but so far it was a really fun week. A lot of RotoViz favorites hit really big, so we got a ton of great stuff to talk about, and I'm excited to be talking about it with our guest today. Joining us on the show is Eric Moody. Eric is a contributor and the social media co-manager at RotoViz. He's also a contributor to Gridiron Experts and 2QBs and a featured writer at Fantasy Pros. You can follow him on Twitter at Eric N. Moody. Eric, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
No, things are going great. Yeah, I'm excited to come on. You know, it's been a good weekend. A lot of great college games, NFL games. Just a busy weekend. It always comes to Sunday night where I'm just like, man, I wish I had like another day before going into the work week. I'm doing great, man.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Well, let's get right into it. First news item up. O.J. Howard caught 3 of 4 targets for 96 yards and a touchdown in the Bucs' Week 2 win over the Eagles. This marks the second week that Howard has been a major part of the offense, while Cameron Brait has been a non-factor as he was held without a catch for the second week in a row. So, Eric, is this more a function of Fitzpatrick being the quarterback and therefore a trend that you would expect to kind of stop when Winston comes back, or do you think Howard is going to be the clear number one tight end in Tampa Bay for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I think that O.J. Howard will end up being the guy. You know, I don't believe this trend will correct itself once Jameis Winston returns. You got to think about it that Howard was selected number 19 overall in the 2017 draft. The Bucs coaching staff are really looking to get a return on their investment at this point. One thing with Howard that's interesting, you know, he played around 65% of Bucs offensive snaps through 2 games. He's only been targeted on 14% of them, so that's an opportunity. And also, you know, 83 of his 150 receiving yards through 2 games have come after the catch. One thing with Bucs head coach and play caller Dirk Koetter, you know, he has a history of heavily using the tight end in his offenses. So since 2012, you know, he's had 3 that have finished in the top 10. And I do expect Howard to be the clear tight end 1 in Tampa, you know, for the rest of the season, obviously with Cameron Brait, you know, kind of filling in.
Yeah, that's actually kind of an interesting way to put it. I mean, I was fairly bullish on O.J. Howard this entire offseason, particularly in best ball leagues. I have a little bit of Cameron Brait, but I have a lot more O.J. Howard, especially because he was fairly affordable in best ball because the idea behind him losing a lot of actual receiving work to Brait and being used as a more so as a blocking tight end, that seemed to be sort of the worry, at least in the mid part of the season during draft season. So it seems like that's not really coming to pass. He seems to be doing really well, especially on that one long play where we got to see him show off his athleticism, what made him that incredibly early draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, I've drafted a lot of O.J. Howard, too, in best ball this year, and basically zero Cameron Braid. I mean, kind of what's motivating this question are the splits we saw last year anyway, with Fitzpatrick in and out. Braid averaged basically double the amount of fantasy points, almost triple, actually, the amount of fantasy points when Winston was the quarterback versus when Fitzpatrick was. And Howard, I think, has not quite as drastic splits, but he was definitely better with Fitzpatrick than with Winston. So, you know, that could be meaningless, but, I mean, so far with Fitzpatrick at quarterback, it looks like Howard's the guy. So I'm a little worried that just, you know, getting Winston back will make Brate kind of have a resurgence. But yeah, I definitely agree that Howard looks to be more talented, definitely more athletic, and, you know, probably should be their top tight end going forward. Do you think he can continue this kind of pace he's on once, you know, if this offense slows down at all? I mean, we've seen them score, 48 points and 27 points in their first two games. I don't think any of us would say they can keep on that pace. So does Howard take a big step back if the offense regresses at all?
That's a tough one. Yeah, because they have hit the ground running this season. Unfortunately, I did that in week one against my New Orleans Saints, being a Saints guy, so that wasn't a fun game to watch. I think the thing for Howard, as long as he gets the target volume, which he hasn't had up to this point of the season, I think he can continue this hot streak, but he's just going to be very volatile. So he's definitely on that tight end one radar, but the volatility up or down, it can go either way any week.
Yeah. Let's see. Next week, Tampa Bay is at home against Pittsburgh. And, you know, we obviously saw the Chiefs drop a huge score on Pittsburgh today. So maybe they can keep it going for one more week. We'll see.
Dalvin Cook exited week two against the Packers during overtime with a hamstring injury. He's already being called questionable for next week's game against Buffalo. Eric, does this make Latavius Murray a must-add this week? How much of your FOB would you spend to get him?
Yeah, it was unfortunate that Cook had that injury. Just given that offense and the volume, you know, that Cook has gotten, yeah, I would consider Latavius Murray a must-add. Looking back at his numbers through two games, you know, he's had, you know, 15 rushing attempts, including two in the red zone to Dalvin Cook's 26. One thing with Cook, you know, he's been used more as a receiver out of the backfield. You know, he has 12 targets. Murray hasn't been targeted at all. Like, if you look back at Murray, you know, over his last 56 games, you know, from 2014 to 2017, he's only averaged, like, 2.4 targets, 1.9 receptions, and a measly 13.2 receiving yards per game over that time frame. I would say for a guy like Murray, you know, I'm open to allocating anywhere from 20 to 40% of FAB, you know, towards him. It really all comes down to that fantasy player's desperation at the running back position.
Yeah, I would agree. Even if we're only talking about a one-week fill-in, if you have, you know, holes in your running back core, then, you know, anybody going up against Buffalo, it seems, is definitely in play. And the, you know, the Vikings don't really have a ton else on their roster. They have Mike Boone, Rock Thomas, it looks like. So I know Devin McIntyre has had some good things to say about Mike Boone, so he might be somewhat interesting. But, yeah, I agree. Murray seems like a must-add if you're needy at running back.
I think both Boone and Rock Thomas should be rostered in Dynasty Leagues. There's no reason for them to be on waivers right now. One thing that I would like to bring up is that Latavius Murray was sort of thought to have this split role with Dalvin Cook, you know, and that doesn't seem to have really materialized. It has only been two games, but so far Murray is functioning more so as this change of pace option who's used to sort of spell Cook on early down work, which is completely fine, but he's got very little standalone volume. There seems to be very little goal line work for him to go around as well, and there's no use for him in the receiving game. We know Murray is a capable backup. We've seen him do it before. He's a very, very talented running back, in my opinion. So I'm with you guys. I think that, you know, if we get word that Cook is going to be forced to sit for whatever reason, I would absolutely go out there and put, you know, 20 to 40% if I need an RB right now.
Before we get into No Shit Shit No, here's a quick reminder that you can support the RotoViz Radio Network and our 10 shows per week on Patreon. By doing so, you'll gain exclusive access to RotoViz Live, our weekly Sunday morning video show answering all your fantasy questions. Patronships start at just $5 a month and provide exclusive access to RotoViz Live. That's 4 shows per month on top of 40 podcasts for just $5. Become a RotoViz Radio patron today to join an exclusive community of listeners, access premium content, and do your part in helping the network to grow and continue to produce high-quality, industry-leading programming.
Speaking of exclusives, as a loyal podcast listener, you can get 30% off your RotoViz NFL Pass right now. It's available to the NFL Podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast. Gain unlimited access to all of our NFL content and tools. You get amazing value and you help support the pod. Once again, that's rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey, sports fans, football season's here, and it's time to get in on the action with MyBookie. MyBookie is the industry-leading sports betting website that offers real Vegas odds on football, baseball, and all your favorite sporting events. You can take a side, the total, or even fantasy points props. MyBookie lets you bet online and win big. Did the game already kick off? Don't sweat it. MyBookie has in-game live betting on every major league and event. Even esports. There's no better time to join MyBookie than today. Go to MyBookie to open an account and start winning. Use promo code CHAMPION when you register for your account and get a 100% sign-up bonus up to $1,000 on your first deposit. Bet today. Visit MyBookie's website or call 844-866-2387. That's 844-866-2387. Check them out today and use promo code CHAMPION for a 100% bonus. Terms and conditions apply. For entertainment purposes only. Void where prohibited.
All right, now let's get into No Shit Shit No. First item up, Tevin Coleman rushed 16 times for 107 yards in the Falcons' 31-24 Week 2 win over the Panthers. He caught all four of his targets for 18 additional yards.
Tevin Coleman. Now, I was thinking about coming into this segment, you know, just laying out, you know, no shit or shit no. It just this kind of fascinates me. So I'm going to go and dive in with full enthusiasm. So Tevin Coleman, I'll say no shit on this one. I'll give you a couple of reasons why. You know, since coming into the league in 2015, you know, this is a guy that's been in a committee, you know, with Devontae Freeman, you know, handling a high number of the touches. He's still been very productive. You know, he's averaged, you know, 56.6 yards per game since entering the league. One thing that's interesting of looking at his data, you know, is that he's had positive rushing fantasy points over expectation per attempt and also positive receiving fantasy points over expectation per target. I'm buying Coleman whenever he has the opportunity, of course.
Yeah, Coleman's been a guy who kind of had flex appeal a little bit behind Devonta Freeman. He has had some of those RB2 weeks, you know, just by virtue of volume, especially when the bye weeks come along. Moody, does the lack of you know, red zone work kind of trouble you, or is what's happening here with the Falcons?
Yeah, I do have some concern, you know, over that. You know, you think of Steve Sarkisian and some of the struggles that he's had, you know, transitioning from the college game to the NFL game. But for me, it's really all about touches and opportunities. You know, with those touches, you know, they're more consistent on a per game basis. You know, it's kind of hit or miss, you know, with red zone opportunities, just nothing that can really be used like from a predictive lens. So I'm okay with it. You know, as long as he's getting the opportunities, you know, he's gonna score some touchdowns every now and then. I'm good with it. Not optimal, but I'm okay with it.
Will Fuller caught 8 of 9 targets for 113 yards and a touchdown in the Texans' Week 2 loss to the Titans.
Yeah, I would say no shit on Will Fuller. I'm like, anytime that, you know, he's on the field and Deshaun Watson's on the field, you know, he always has you know, opportunities to score touchdowns and for long receptions. And we saw that again here today. And so, you know, one thing with Fuller, even though he only played like in 10 games, you know, last year, you know, he was very productive. So if he's active and he's a wide receiver 3, you know, with upside for a lot more.
Christian McCaffrey rushed 8 times for 37 yards and caught 14 of 15 targets for 102 yards in the Panthers' 31-24 Week 2 loss to the Falcons.
Yeah, no shit. You know, if this guy, you know, if he gets opportunities as a receiver out of the backfield, you know, he's going to be successful. You know, and he had that happen again here today. Remains to be seen, you know, in the rushing attempts, you know, per game, you know, if that'll end up changing. But as long as he's getting the targets and the opportunities, he's going to make it happen.
Melvin Gordon rushed 9 times for 28 yards and a touchdown and caught 6 of 7 passes for 38 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Chargers' Week 2 win over Buffalo.
Yeah, I would say, no shit. You know, this guy has been a TD or bust ever since coming into the league. And if he gets a touchdown, he's going to give you a good fantasy line. And he had that today. One thing that's interesting with Gordon, though, and if you look back since 2016, you know, over his last 30 games, does have a negative rushing fantasy points over expectation per attempt. Not optimal, but he's still getting it done.
So I just want to point out that Melvin Gordon, it's still very young in the season, but he is seen some of the most targets across the first few weeks among guys, ahead of guys like Jared Cook, Adam Thielen, Kenny Golladay. He's seen 13 targets to their 12 going down. Just for fun, I think this is kind of interesting to follow just because Melvin Gordon, the one thing that people don't, or at least when he was coming out of college, they said, this guy can't really catch the ball. He didn't really do much of it at Wisconsin. And he's turning into kind of like a de facto wide receiver too for the Chargers. And he's splitting time, and the backfield with him and Austin Eckler looks very, very impressive. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with you. You brought up a good point. You know, they did, you know, the coaching staff did say coming to the season they wanted to use him more as a receiver, and he has gotten those opportunities. You know, he is going to have some monster games, you know, from here on out, especially where kind of those two things end up coming together. So, no, it's good to see, and I think that those that have invested in Gordon early in drafts, you know, like what they've seen so far.
Ryan Fitzpatrick completed 27 of 33 passes for 402 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 1 interception in the Bucs' Week 2 win over the Eagles.
Yeah, I would say shit no on Fitz. You know, he's always good for a couple of games like this, then he'll come back down to earth. And that can actually come as soon as this week or next week.
Do you think it'll be next week against the Steelers then at home?
I think it could happen. I'm saying we've got a trend here, you know, 2 good games in a row to kind of fit in with the theme. I think he's going to shit the bed sooner rather than later.
Out of curiosity, I mean, like today the Tampa Bay coaches were pretty insistent that they don't think Jameis Winston is getting his job back. They're not being serious, right?
I just think it's more posturing on you know, on their end. They just don't want to, you know, hand the keys to the car back immediately, you know, to Winston. Kind of want him to sweat a little bit. So I'm not really taking that seriously. But, you know, we'll see. They may follow through with it, but who knows?
You know, I mean, if he comes in and – or if the Steelers come in and the Bucks win at home, you know, they're 3-0 now under Fitzpatrick. That is, you know, hard to bench that guy.
No, it would be. Yeah, it would be. But this is one of those things we'll have to see, kind of see how it pans out. And I know Winston's got a lot on the line, too, you know, just given his contract situation and then obviously the off-the-field troubles, you know, that he's had. But you really got to look at it from a big picture. Is really Fitzpatrick going to be the future of this franchise, you know, at his age? You know, he's had some traction, but it's not a guy you really want to have success or failure tied to. And that's exactly what Dirk Cutter and his staff are really looking at this point. If they don't make it happen this year, they're out.
Just like we all predicted, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be completely fine without Jameis Winston. They're just going to smash New Orleans, and they're just going to continue rolling. Stephon Diggs hauled in 9 of 13 targets for 128 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Vikings' Week 2 tie with the Packers.
Yeah, I would say no shit on this one. Stephon Diggs, you know, a RotoViz favorite. I know we've written a lot of articles, you know, about him, and, you know, he's followed through. One thing that's interesting with him, I'm like, he's just getting a you know, ton of air yards with having Cousins on the center. And so I think he's going to have some even more monster games, you know, from here on out. If you look back at his numbers, you know, since coming into the league, you know, he has been very, very effective. So, yeah, he's in for a big year.
Speaking of monster games, Patrick Mahomes completed 23 of 28 passes for 326 yards and 6 touchdowns in the Chiefs' 42-37 Week 2 win over the Steelers.
Yeah, I would say no shit on this one as well. You know, with Mahomes, and you know, they drafted him. You know, the Andy Reid regime with the Chiefs, you know, they picked him up. You know, they let him sit and kind of simmer for a year, you know, behind Alex Smith. And then what I really liked that I've seen from them is that they've really catered the offense, you know, to his skill set, you know, to his strengths. And that's really key in football, to put your players in a position to be successful. And I think we've seen the results from that, you know, over the last 2 weeks. I know those that have invested in him have been very happy with the return on investment. I know when I was looking at my Scott Fishbowl roster with having him and Bortles, I was very happy with the QB production this week.
Yeah, I mean, I actually watched the game. It was this high octane back and forth, and Mahomes was incredible. I mean, this is two games the Chiefs have gone and won on the road. Andy Reid has put together a very aesthetically pleasing offense, which is really weird to say. It's really fun to watch a guy who's an old-fashioned gunslinger, but he's deadly accurate. And just go in there, like, everyone on that roster is just catching touchdown passes. He made Chris Conley relevant. He threw two lasers to Travis Kelce over the middle. I feel like this team has, like, a wheel route somewhere planned for Kareem Hunt that they're going to unleash at the right time. I don't know. I mean, like, say what you want about, like, the Alex Smith offense, but this one has just been wild to watch.
Yeah, I'm like, you look at Mahomes, like, through these past 2 weeks. I'm like, he's completed, nearly 70% of his passes. 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions. He's got a QBR of 143. This guy's averaging nearly 34 fantasy points a game. And considering his ADP, I'm like, you have to be happy with this return on investment. But I think we're just going to see more of this, from here on out. And I like that they're attacking defenses vertically. I'm like, you can have some monster games for all those receivers with that type of mentality. So I'm fired up about this guy.
On the other hand, you had Juju Smith-Schuster, who caught 13 of 19 targets for 121 yards and a touchdown in the Steelers' Week 2 loss.
Yeah, no shit. You give this guy that amount of targets in a game, fireworks will be the results. And I'm like, this is coming from a player in Smith-Schuster that's only averaged, since last year, and going into after Week 1 of this season, he's only averaged 6.2 targets a game. So it just really shows if you give him that type of a volume, these are the results that he can have, and you gotta be happy with that.
Yeah, the kind of the wild thing about the Steelers last year was they were playing Martavis ahead of Juju. They'd worked Juju in on special packages and stuff, and by like week three, it's a bit of a bummer to see like Martavis kind of flame out here in Pittsburgh. They were like, all right, whatever, we're just gonna give it straight to the rook. Get in there, Juju. And he just, that's all she wrote. And today, the Steelers did something very similar where last week they had Justin Hunter active. He missed a touchdown in the end zone. They were like, all right, you're a healthy scratch. James Washington, get in there. And Washington came out there and scored a TD. What are your thoughts on this? I mean, just this vertical offense going forward. I mean, we've got, Brown, who everyone knows is fantastic, Juju. And then how do you think Washington fits in here?
Yeah, I like Washington, as a player, with his skill set, athletic ability. I think the thing that he needs to be successful were just, additional snaps on the field, and opportunities. I'm like, if you look at the targets, you've got Brown leading the pack with 34, Juju's right behind him at 28. And then you've got Washington, that only has, five. And also with Smith-Schuster and Brown, they've accumulated a ton of air yards. Even if you look at Smith-Schuster's yards after the catch, 141 yards after the catch, up to this point of the season, that's phenomenal. Washington's a good fit, but he's still going to be very volatile from the fantasy perspective if he's not getting the opportunities. For wide receivers, obviously, it's going to be targets.
I heard earlier today that in week one, Connor Brown and Smith-Schuster had something like 85% of Pittsburgh's touches, and I bet it wasn't as high this week because Jesse James had a pretty good game, but just with all these guys hogging touches in Pittsburgh, yeah, like you said, it's going to be hard for him to find consistent volume, I think. So,
yeah,
he looked really good, but hard to expect that it'll continue.
Yeah, it's always say, hope's not a strategy, so opportunities aren't there. Can't make it happen.
Chris Thompson rushed for just 1 yard on four carries, but made up for that lack of production by snagging 13 catches for a team-leading 92 yards on 14 targets Sunday in the Redskins' Week 2 loss to the Colts.
Yeah, I would say no shit on this one. He's been very productive, when given the opportunities, in Washington. And I think if it's an even better fit, with them having Adrian Peterson there, who doesn't have a really big history of being a receiver, out of the backfield. I'm like, if you look at Thompson, I'm like, he's averaging 23 0.6, PPR points in fantasy a game. 21 targets already, through two games as a receiver. So as long as he's getting those opportunities, and for me, I consider an opportunity to be a rushing attempt, or a target, he's going to make it happen. He's been playing a pretty decent amount of snaps as well. So I'm buying him.
Travis Kelce caught 7 of 10 targets for 109 yards and 2 touchdowns in the Chiefs' Week 2 win over the Steelers.
Yeah, I would say no shit on this one as well. I think that's kind of a theme with the players that we have selected with these performances. For me, statistical body of work's important. You look at a guy like Zeus, I'm like, he's averaged out, since 2016, nearly, 8 targets a game, 5 receptions a game, close to 68 receiving yards a game, 14.3, or more in some circumstances, PPR points. Plus he has positive, receiving fantasy points over expectation. As long as the guy's on the field, which he does play a high number of games and a high number of snaps, he's going to make it happen. And I think we've seen, what type of production that he can have with having a guy like Mahomes under center. And so I think he's even in a position to potentially have a better year than he has had the previous two. It's going to be exciting to watch.
Antonio Callaway caught 3 of 4 targets for 81 yards and a touchdown in Sunday's Week 2 loss to the Saints.
Yeah, I would say for this one, no shit. For a guy like Callaway, it's really all about opportunities for him. And, with Gordon, with some of the, things that he's had going on, on the field and off the field, I definitely want him to get his life, on track. But, one door closes and another one opens. And then, Callaway just walked right through and had the really good game, today, considering, that defense that they were facing with the Saints, and Lattimore, on the other side of the ball. So, I'm looking forward to seeing what this guy, what he puts together with the rest of the season, given this opportunity.
Yeah, especially since, Josh Gordon is no longer with the Browns. Do you think Rashard Higgins is someone that we should even consider here, or eh?
I would say in deeper leagues, I would consider Higgins. And I know he was a guy that I was pretty high on the road of this series that we wrote this summer, deep sleepers. So he was a guy that I was championing in that article. But from the looks of it, with Callaway getting the nod, it just seems like from behind the scenes, that's a guy that coaching staff of the Browns, they want him to be successful. And then looking at it from that lens, that's why I would give Callaway the nod.
Philip Lindsay rushed 14 times for 107 yards with 1 reception for 4 yards in Sunday's win over the Raiders.
Yeah, when you look at this guy's production, with Lindsay, I would say, no shit. He outperformed, Royce Freeman, in week 1. He had another monster week in week 2. Just given the state of that offense, and I know today's game was, we'll just say it was interesting with Case Keenum. But, I'm buying Lindsay. It's unfortunate for the folks that have invested heavily in Royce Freeman. I'm one of those as well, so we'll see how this backfield turns out.
Who do you think has a better fantasy season going forward between the two, Lindsay and Freeman?
That's a very tough one. My instincts are telling me that, it's going to be Lindsay, just given, given how he's performed, these last two games. He's taking the opportunity, and he's really running with it. I'm like, he's just running circles around, Freeman, for right now. And the crazy thing is they've had a pretty similar workload up to this point. Lindsay's had, 29 rushing attempts. Freeman's had 23. Lindsay's had a few more targets, a few more receptions to Freeman's 0. But I'm like, he's on the field. I'm like, he looks like the better back to me.
Yeah, Broncos, Philip Lindsay has become the first ever undrafted player in NFL history to record at least 100 scrimmage yards in his first two games, according to Adam Schefter. That's actually fairly interesting. I mean, in and of itself, when Philip Lindsay actually made the 53-man roster, Blair and I told everyone to kind of go in. I even told everyone what my bid was, and I still won Lindsay. So I'm telling you guys, like, the one thing that I'm very excited about with this Freeman Lindsay backfield is that it could be something akin to the, like, a poor man's version of the Mark Ingram Alvin Kamara backfield, or what the Chargers have going with Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler, where they've got these mm-hmm. two, you know, you've got a couple of guys who are capable of performing in the on the ground and through the air. You know, you can keep defenses off balance and sort of attack them where they're weakest with and rotate these two guys. And it's going to be very fascinating to watch. Luckily, I own Lindsay and Royce on a couple of the same squads, and I have zero issues with putting them both out there in my running back spots.
So are you still buying Freeman? Like, you're still trying to trade with him where you don't trade for him, rather, where you don't own him?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, it's, say, for a guy like Freeman, like, he's still getting the opportunities. He just hasn't gone boom yet. So I could see some players, you know, trying to kind of buy low, you know, on him. I'm like, it makes sense to just own a piece of the backfield. But it's just obviously Lindsay's the one that's getting the most attention, just given the production. Yeah, so I'll be on board with trying to roster at least one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that's actually pretty impressive is how efficient Lindsay's kind of been. And this is sort of the stuff that we worried about, like when Kamara was smashing and even now when Eckler is that they will eventually regress to the mean. Now, all like what I'd be trying to do is similar to what you said, is like Freeman has yet to go boom. He is going to go boom as long as he sees that opportunity. It's not like they haven't given him that, they stopped giving him that opportunity. And so if there is someone in your league who's panicking on Freeman, if there is someone in your league who, you know, is just looking to get out from under him, even in redraft, just send out some really low offers. You know, people will just click accept if they were just going to drop the guy anyway. And the kind of narrative on this RB class, although it's a very strong class, is starting to slowly shift because, you know, all of them aren't three-down workhorses. They're kind of finding themselves in these committees. People are getting discouraged. They put all this high draft capital in and they're not getting in the return they want. It's a long season. We've got another 14 weeks. Just go right ahead. See what you can get, right?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I think I might be on the selling side of Freeman at this point. I probably wouldn't drop him, but I definitely would kind of see what I could get. I mean, they had equal opportunities pretty much in week one, but week two, Lindsay almost doubled Freeman's touches. Freeman had eight rushes. Lindsay had 14 and a catch. So I don't know. Seemed to be trending in the wrong direction for Freeman. So I think, you know, I might be trying to sell right now, see what I can get for him.
Out of curiosity, how much of that do you think just comes from a game script perspective, just because the Broncos trailed the whole game till they won?
That's a good point. Could be.
Yeah.
We'll have to see more.
Yeah.
Great point. Matt Breida started with 138 yards and a touchdown on 11 carries while also delivering 3 catches for 21 yards on 4 targets Sunday in the 49ers' week 2 win over Detroit.
Yeah, I would say for Breida, you know, I would say, you know, no shit. You know, this is a guy that, you know, I was pretty high on coming into the season. I remember writing the, you know, that article on him for the running back countdown. And so, yeah, it's not surprising to see that type of production. Especially in the Shanahan offense. So, yeah, he's got a bright season ahead of him. Just got to make sure he keeps getting the touches, and he can deliver, obviously, as you can see from the results.
Do you think, we're kind of done with Alfred Morris here, or is it just, going to be Matt Breida time as a three-down back, or how do you see that shaking out?
I still believe it'll be a committee, you know, just based on how Shanahan has operated in the past, you know, in Washington, and also in Atlanta. So Morris will still have a role, but we could see that dynamic where, you know, Breida is more of the, I guess, the Devontae Freeman, you know, type of role, you know, with Morris still, you know, coming in as a change of pace. I would say my big concern just with giving him that full workload at this point would just be, you know, with the injury that he had, you know, during the summer, you know, just given how he's healed from that, you know, they could obviously give him more work. You know, so if he's, you know, putting together, you know, these types of stat lines, you know, they got to feed him some more.
Demaryius Thomas got 5 of 11 targets for 18 yards in Sunday's week 2 win over the Raiders.
Ooh, you know, I'm a big Demaryius guy, you know, big Demaryius Thomas guy. So, you know, I would say on this, it's still kind of more of the same. So I would say, you know, shit no on this one. You know, this is a guy who's consistently gotten a lot of targets you know, going back many, many years. And then he had 11 in this game and still wasn't able to make it happen, even with an upgrade at quarterback. So it'll be interesting to see because, you know, Emmanuel Sanders is there. He obviously likes to eat and has been productive. You know, if that dynamic will continue to shift.
One thing that I kind of want to note here is that Sanders was wildly efficient with his targets. He saw 4 targets and he converted 4 of them for 96 yards. I mean, Keenum and the entire offense looked pretty out of sync. They looked fairly lackadaisical, kind of confused. It was very touch and go for a minute there with Oakland. I do know Demaryius Thomas got hurt on a red zone play. I can't, my memory is failing me right now, but you know, he limped off on the sideline. Like, you know, a friend texted me and joked that, like, Demaryius crawled to the sideline. It looked very, very iffy for a moment, but he got right back in. This is a guy who plays hurt. And, you know, the target share in Denver is very concentrated between him and Sanders. I think they're kind of very complementary players. One makes the other go when one's not in or underperforming. The other one also can go off. There are a couple of players I don't mind doubling up on, and I have doubled up on in leagues, just showing them both out there because it's 25%, 25% of the target share each. I wanted to note that actually Cortland Sutton saw 6 targets, more than Manny Sanders did, and about half of what Demaryius did, but he only caught 1 of those for a 9-yard gain. Do you think if Demaryius continues to struggle, will Cortland Sutton work in more, and does that make him a priority waiver ad?
Yeah, I would prioritize, you know, getting Sutton, but it just comes down to what costs. You know, he's not a guy for where you can say 50%+ of fab, you know, on him. But if he's a guy that you can get pretty, you know, inexpensive and a guy that you can stash, you know, I could see him being even more valuable as the season, you know, comes on or goes on, excuse me, especially in the red zone. So I think he has the potential to be the best red zone receiver that the Broncos have.
Rob Gronkowski caught 2 of 4 targets for 15 yards in the Patriots' Week 2 loss to the Jaguars.
Yeah, just given the matchup, you know, I would say, you know, no shit on this one. The one thing with Gronk, I'm like, he always gets a lot of work, you know, with Brady. I'm like, you back Gronk going back to the start of the 2017 season. I'm like, he's averaging nearly 18, you know, PPR fantasy points per game. You know, I think a lot of his struggles in this game, you know, really had to do with the matchup. You know, but obviously Gronk will bounce back, you know, in coming weeks, so I'm not really worried about him.
Keelan Cole caught 7 of 8 targets for 116 yards and a touchdown in the Jaguars' Week 2 win over the Patriots.
Yeah, I would say with Keelan Cole, you know, in this one for him, you know, I would say no shit. You know, this is a guy that's been chomping at the bits, you know, for more opportunities, you know, more targets, you know, more chances to make plays. And the unfortunate injury, you know, to Marquise Lee opened up the door for him. So it was a great game. You know, he had a monster catch you know, that was blowing up on Twitter. He's going to be the man, you know, from here on out. He's going to make it happen.
Yeah, that catch was, oh my goodness, it was like OBJ-esque where he just came down with it. Like, I don't know how he got that to stick to his glove, let alone come down with it, and then actually can get what, like 3 yards of yak or something? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it looked like he was going to keep running. That would have just been perfect.
Yeah, it was a beautiful catch. So it's kind of one of those, if you're watching it like out, you know, with friends, you know, or like at a bar, you know, a restaurant where everyone's like, woo! It was kind of one of those types of catches. I even kind of had to let one of those out at the house, and my son's like looking at me like, Dad, what's up?
Yeah, it was. That was just ridiculous. I mean, and James Conner made one of those earlier in the day. I don't know if you guys saw that one, but
yeah, but it didn't count, right?
Yeah, it's just that one's going to be lost to the sands of time. That Keelan Cole catch was, oh my goodness. Want an unfair advantage to dominate your fantasy football league? Well, look no further and download SquadQL, the only mobile app you need to crush your friends and rivals this year. SquadQL recommends the best starting lineup for you each week based on your starters, bench players, and free agent pool. You may ask, how does SquadQL actually do this? The app connects directly with your Yahoo, ESPN, and CBS leagues, pulling in your actual roster and your league scoring system. SquadQL provides waiver and trade recommendations, plus the app gives you player rankings each week, and it's all based on your league settings. SquadQL truly is your go-to app this fantasy football season, head to SquadQL.com to download SquadQL, your all-in-one fantasy football manager. SquadQL is brought to you by the creators of RotoQL, the leading daily fantasy lineup optimizer trusted by 100,000 DFS players. You can also download RotoQL for free for both Apple and Android.
All right, moving on to news item number three. David Johnson rushed 13 times for 48 yards and hauled in one of two targets for 3 yards in the Cardinals' Week 2 loss to the Rams. So, Eric, this is the second week in a row that Johnson and the Cardinals' offense has underperformed. Are you worried about David Johnson moving forward, and would the shift to a new quarterback and Josh Rosen give you any hope for, you know, him having this type of season we're used to seeing from him?
I am worried about David Johnson moving forward. You know, going into the season, you know, you felt like the touches would be there on a per game basis, and he's a talented enough player and athletically gifted enough to make something happen with those touches. But I am worried just given the state of this offense. I don't really know if the shift to Josh Rosen would do any good. I think it really all starts, you know, with the coaching staff. You know, this offense, just from watching, it's very, you know, very dated. It looks very boring. It doesn't look very creative. To really put some perspective on this, it doesn't look like the Chiefs' offense. I'm not saying I want them to emulate the Chiefs, but it just needs to have a little bit more sizzle. And then if that does happen, you know, if they get a little bit more creative, you know, then DJ could thrive. But I admit I'm worried. I don't have any shares of DJ, you know, for this season, but I know he was a top three pick. And so I'm sure those folks that do have them on their fantasy teams are concerned, and I am too.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pretty big step down going from a Bruce Arians offense that was kind of high-flying to whatever Sam Bradford seems to be running out there under head coach Steve Wilks, and their offensive coordinator comes from the John Fox School of Football, which is, I mean, we all saw the Bears last year. Like, I mean, I wish I could forget, but we all saw them. You know, this is... seems to be like what it is that's holding the Cardinals back. The fact that the Cardinals have committed a significant amount of money, not only to Bradford, but also Mike Glennon, in terms of guarantees for the quarterbacks, it's absolutely pathetic. I mean, you know, you're wasting cap space on essentially guys who, I mean, Bradford had a kind of a promising-ish career. You'd never know that this was the same Sam Bradford that lit up college football the way he did. I mean, and Mike Glennon, the best thing that I can say is that, like, at least people know what a giraffe looks like looking at him. But like, outside of that, you know, the fact that they're wasting David Johnson, he had 0 targets through the first half. The fact that the only time this offense made it past midfield was the final drive of the game. Last week, in their first game, they ran 24 plays for the first 3 quarters and ran 25 in the last quarter alone after they realized they were losing. You know, this seems to be an offense that not only does it not have an identity, there's also zero interest in them putting together any product here. Like, there's just no concept of what they're doing. I mean, they're using David Johnson, who is arguably one of the best dual threat running backs in the National Football League, as a pure through the tackles grinder, which is completely ruins whatever kind of, you know, the kind of route running ability and like what the ability of David Johnson really is to this offense. And I think just being that vanilla does this entire squad a disservice. What are your thoughts, Moody?
No, I think you're spot on. It's just a shame, you know, that they're, especially with him coming off of the season where he had that injury and he was out for the year, you know, to come back healthy, seems like he's motivated, ready to go to work for where, you know, they're not putting him in a position to be successful. I think that's the disappointing thing. So I think you hit on a lot of good points.
So in 2016, David Johnson had by far the most air yards of any running back, like not even close. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's like 700 or something. Basically an A dot of 4 or 5 or something. And this year, I believe his A dot is still behind the line of scrimmage. Like, they're just not throwing it to him downfield at all. He almost never lines up wide or in the slot like he used to. So, yeah, just I think that's exactly right, that they're just not using him in any kind of creative way or trying to put him in positions to succeed. So, yeah, it's a real, definitely a problem that a quarterback change doesn't necessarily promise to fix. I mean, there's no reason to think that just switching a new quarterback would all of a sudden change the offensive scheme. So,
yeah,
you know, we talk about, you know, the Tampa Bay coaches as ones we, well, at least before the season, we would have wanted to maybe lose their jobs. But, you know, they've actually looked good. So, I don't know. Cardinals coaches should be on the hot seat if they're not.
Tyrod Taylor completed 22 of 30 passes for 246 yards and one touchdown and one interception in Sunday's Week 2 loss versus the Saints. Eric, on a day when Cleveland's D came into New Orleans and held the Saints to only 3 points through three quarters, the Browns were still unable to come away with a win. Is it finally time for the team to turn to Baker Mayfield?
I think the team should look into Baker Mayfield because, you know, Tyrod's had, you know, two opportunities here and essentially has underperformed. One thing that I noticed just when looking at the Browns, which concerned me even more, you know, considering that weather wasn't a factor, you know, you don't have any other variables that would impact these numbers, is that they didn't have a single receiver or a tight end, you know, that went over, you know, 100 yards or more in air yards. I'm like, you've got Antonio Callaway at 68, you got David Njoku at 69. And that's just unacceptable. I'm like, with these type of weapons that you have that can attack defenses vertically, you have to throw the ball down the field. I know Baker Mayfield's not afraid to do that, so I think it's worth looking into to see what he can do sooner rather than later.
Yeah, it's weird that they could only get, you know, 30 pass attempts, even despite the fact that for most of the game, New Orleans wasn't playing that great either. But both teams were playing a very slow-paced game, it would appear. Seven targets only for Jarvis Landry. That was tied for the most. That's hopefully you'd like to see him get a few more of the targets. David Njoku also had seven. So, you know, getting these guys some more targets, more opportunities to actually do something would definitely be good. And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, Taylor hasn't looked great. Baker Mayfield should hopefully be more capable of doing that. So, yeah, I'm ready for Baker time to start already.
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, you can look at it and say, well, Tyrod kind of prevented, you know, was beating the Saints right up until the end, right? It was not a pretty win, but it was going to be a win. Now, Tyrod is probably leaps and bounds better than whatever the Browns have had prior in years prior. The issue is the Browns went out and spent the 101 on Baker Mayfield, and now, you know, your team is like all they've seen are losses. The last quarterback that took this team to victory was Robert Griffin III, and that was in 2015. I'm forgetting, my years are all mixed up now. There, thank you. But, you know, you've got the 101, who is a very exciting prospect. All these other teams, you know, who we thought are going to be bad with their young quarterbacks, like the New York Jets, are actually putting on something that the fans are actually enjoying. You know, like, you've got a fan base that seems to be pretty downtrodden, a coaching staff that seems to be making just negative EV decisions, like the against the Steelers, for example, just because they're in the hunt for that one elusive victory. And, you know, they spent all summer not letting Baker practice with the ones, like the fact that they're committed to Tyrod. And it's fine because Tyrod's a very good quarterback. The issue is that, like, at some point this team needs to win, or they need to just move on from Hugh Jackson. And I think that they're going to be willing. I think Hugh's going to be willing to try the Baker route before this happens. I've been saying this for the majority of the summer, at least in the Rotovis Slack, that this Week 3 game for the Browns against the Jets is big. This was one that everyone had penciled in preseason as a win for the Browns. Not so much anymore, and the fact that it's at home on Thursday night against the Jets and their rookie quarterback, if they were to lose to them, I don't know how you can sell your fan base on another Tyrod Taylor start. What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with you. It's you know, a lot of, you know, the financial piece drives a lot of these decisions. I'm sure the fan base up in Cleveland's like, hey, we got this guy we drafted, you know, very, very high draft pick, number one overall, and we need to get him out onto the field. we don't like the product that we're seeing out there. So it wouldn't surprise me. I think you laid it out pretty well on what could happen here on Thursday, depending if things go awry.
Especially since they could have drafted Darnold, but they liked Baker more. So if, you know, they have this rookie quarterback who they liked more, who, you know, is sitting on the bench while the rookie quarterback that they could have had, you know, beats them. I don't know. That sticks in your mind.
That'll just burn the franchise, man. Like, that would be, like, the breaking point for a lot of these fans, I think.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Special thanks to our guest, Eric Moody. Be sure to follow him on Twitter, at Eric N. Moody. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on iTunes and subscribe to our Patreon. For Hassan Rahim, I'm Blair Andrews. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Football Report. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter at @RotovizRadio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz at a 30% discount through the RotoViz podcast homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Technology Truths, brought to you by GEICO.
Technology Truths.
Truth. Teenagers can communicate entirely in emojis.
How was the birthday party? Pizza slice, kitten, soccer ball, pineapple?
Truth. It's so easy to switch and save on car insurance at GEICO.com.
What are you talking about? Paperclip, shoulder shrug, high five, wizard hat? What?
GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in the new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series premiering Sunday, June 6th, only on Showtime.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.